A boombox is not a toy.
Oh!
Explain the truth now, all right.
Now it's working.
There you go.
All right. We're doing a show right now.
Right now.
You've noticed this month I've stuck with the Halloween songs, but this year I kind of went back to like the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, like the previous generation from us music.
Yeah.
There's some really good songs from like the 50s and 60s that are Halloween related. I think that sometimes gets overlooked. I've got a cool little story about this song that's playing right now. The guy that performs the song, his name is Jumpin' Gene Simmons. And I actually know his son. Gene was from this area, and he was real famous during the time of like Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis, the Sun Records, Sun Studios, when all that was going on.
So not to be mistaken for Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Well, as I was going to say, if you recognize that name, Gene Simmons, which that's not his, the Gene Simmons from Kiss, obviously that's not his birth name. His birth name is actually hard to pronounce.
Yeah, because he's...
That's the stage name he chose because he was a fan of Jumpin' Gene Simmons.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah. He was a fan of the song Haunted House and all that. Gene Simmons passed away. Jumpin' Gene Simmons passed away in 2006 at age 73. But he had toured with a lot with Elvis and all them. And like I said, I know his son, and he's all the time telling me like really cool stories. Because he knows I'm a musician, too. And,
right.
And he used to go on tour with his dad.
Well, did I read that correct? That he's from, like, Itawamba County originally?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So he is really close, just right up the road.
Yeah. But he used to tell me some really cool stories about going on tour with his dad and stuff. One story in particular that I remember is he said that Elvis would show up at his house in a limo and pick him up, pick his dad up, and take him to the, I think he said the old skating rink in Tupelo. And there they would have everything cleaned out, and this would be like the who's who of like all the people, you know, the rock stars and the people that hung with them and traveled with them at the time.
Yeah.
And they would lock the doors, and they would play indoor football in the skating rink. And I was like, wow, that'd be pretty cool if there was a TMZ back then. What they would give in for to get a picture or video of all those people in there playing football and at the skating rink. But I did some work for him. I reloaded Windows on his laptop for him, and to thank me, he was going to give me one of his dad's T-shirts, like his, you know, tour band shirts.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And then after he gave me the shirt, he reached in his pocket, and he's like, next time you need a little bit of inspiration for writing a song or something, you could use this. And he hands me a guitar pick. And I knew right away that it wasn't like one of the custom printed like fan picks.
Yeah.
It was like this one had been used. And I got it, looked at it, I was like, did he actually use it? He's like, yeah. He said, that's one of the picks that my dad used that I saved. And
oh, wow.
He gave it to me. And I'm like, wow, I've got like a legitimate like piece of rock and roll history there.
Absolutely.
I've got that pick and a few others that I'm putting together in like a shadow box.
Yeah.
To put on display, probably in here in the studio. And I just thought that was really cool. Like I said, this generation probably hasn't heard or know who Jumpin' Gene Simmons is, but like ask your parents and I guarantee you they'll know who it is. If not, tell them the name of the song and they'll probably start singing it for you.
Yeah.
Because this song Haunted House was like a really big hit back in those days. Got some announcements to make in this intro here we're doing. We have everything this year in Halloween has everything hadn't lined up like I wanted it to, but we're doing everything that we had planned on doing and more, but I wanted to spread it out through the whole month. But Halloween is only one night.
Yeah.
And so everything's kind of happening all at one time. So the good news is we're still going to do everything. It's just, it's definitely going to be an episode or two into November for time travel reasons, because I can't cram it all in one. There's no way we can do like three shows in a week. We got to spread them out a little bit for time and editing purposes. But we got some cool stuff coming up. We're going to be at the Greg Hamilton House this coming Thursday, which will be on next week's episode. Tonight, we're actually interviewing a lady that used to live in the Greg Hamilton House. Probably if you're from this area, for sure you've heard of the place, but if you Google Greg Hamilton House, Aberdeen, Mississippi, you'll see pretty quick that it's pretty well known for being haunted. Like, all the websites that show up in a Google search are, you know,
about the haunted house.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of websites that list off, like, haunted places.
Yeah.
There's always a little thing about Greg Hamilton House and all of those. So I'm looking forward to talking to her to get, like, an inside perspective kind of leading up to that, because we're going to be there talking to the owner. We're going to do a quick tour. And all that's going to be on the next episode. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her and getting, like, the almost like the prequel to the going to the house. You know what I mean? On the next episode, we're going to be at the Reich House in Aberdeen, Mississippi. I'm going back to Aberdeen again. There's a lot of old homes there from 1800s, early 1900s. And some of them, all of them have a lot of history, but some of them have a little bit of spooky history too. So, and we actually went out to the old Aberdeen Cemetery.
Yeah, we did do that.
We didn't get any podcast worthy material, so I don't really have anything to air, other than there was a pretty good response on that spirit box.
Yeah.
That said that lady's name, and we were standing by her little
was it Mary, I think?
Yeah, Mary. Yeah, yeah. The lady is supposedly buried in a rocking chair, and she has her own little vault, like, sitting there, and I guess she's just chilling out in a rocking chair, and right when you turned on the spirit box, it said Mary.
Yep.
Other than that, we didn't get a whole lot, so I'm not going to air any of that. I was actually thinking when we were listening back to all that stuff, I was like, man, this is when I really wish we had our Patreon going, because our patrons will get, you know, exclusive stuff.
Exclusive footage, yeah.
Yeah, we could have done a show for them with that. That'll be available to our, I guess, our quote-unquote fan club members.
Well, if nothing else, you know, we got a lot of really awesome... awesome pictures and stuff too, and plus you had never even been out there, so it was a treat.
Going out to cemeteries is like, you know, you have to be careful, because you have to be like really respectful, and sometimes you got to mind where you step, but sometimes there's like current things going on there. Well, the thing is about the old Aberdeen Cemetery is, I mean, most of the people that are buried there, it was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
They don't currently bury people there, so you're not like really encroaching on I guess current funeral activities. Yeah, you don't want to be walking around a cemetery and like there's people in the background, you know, trying to pay their respects. And that's when you go to cemeteries, you just gotta be real careful about stuff like that. That's why I was like, I'm kind of reluctant about quote unquote ghost hunting in cemeteries, but I think that one's cool because it's more of a historical site.
Yeah.
Then it's set up like a historical place, and the people that go there are usually people visiting from a historical standpoint.
Yeah.
Because, gosh, I mean, I don't know who would be living now that knows somebody there.
I don't know. I mean, but you know,
maybe their great grandfathers or grandmothers or something.
Well, you know, they do put during the section of the Civil War soldiers, they have new American flags. Somebody comes through and replaces those as needed.
Yeah, there's groups of people that come out and
maybe part of the historical society that does that.
Yeah, something like that. There's like pamphlets you can get out there. There's like a little display. Kelly picked one up. But anyway, yeah, we got some cool pictures. Nothing paranormal. It's one of those, you know, and I've heard that there's a lot of activity out there, but we just didn't get nothing. And yeah, that happens. Sometimes you go places that are paranormal and you don't catch a fish.
Yep.
Another big announcement I wanted to make real quick is that we have Kill Pop Culture t-shirts. Finally. So if we owe you a shirt from our contest, don't worry, it's on the way. If we don't owe you a shirt, you can get one from us. Just hit us up and let us know you want a shirt, and we'll figure out how to make that happen. Another little piece of information I thought I'd share in the nerd culture world is this past week I just got in my new, now oldest, comic that I have in my collection.
Oh, wow.
I got Batman number 150. Was printed in September of 1962.
Holy crap.
My previously oldest comics were from the, well, like 1966.
I think my oldest one is like 1975.
I stalked this one for a while because, you know, as I've said on here before, I'm really frugal when it comes to comics. I'm not going to pay a ton of money for one. But for the price and condition, yeah, it's awesome. And it was written by Bill Finger.
Oh, hey.
Which, if anybody doesn't know Bill Finger's involvement in the creation of Batman, you need to go watch a documentary called Batman and Bill on Hulu. What else have we got going on? If we have time, we got this interview coming up next with the lady that lived in the Greg Hamilton house. After that, we've got lists. And then if we have time, I'm going to see what the runtime of the show is. We may have time to squeeze in another Movies That Don't Suck segment. I got one in the holster. I'm ready to fire.
I'll catch you.
My dog's back here making noises. I hope they don't come through.
I don't know what he's doing, but it's hilarious.
All right. Well, what else has been going on? Is that it? Is that
all we got? Super Low Haunted Castle is still going on.
Go check it out.
The rest of this month, yeah.
If you haven't already made plans, you still have a couple of days left to go out to the Reich House yourself. It's a public event that we're going to. So that ends on what, the 29th?
They're taking one night off and doing through the 30th.
This should air by the 26th or 27th. So yeah, you'll still have a couple of days when this airs.
Yeah.
So go out to the Reich House.
They're taking off the 28th, but they'll be there the 29th and 30th.
That's right. They're not doing Halloween night.
And they're taking off that Saturday. So.
And we still have our interview with C.J. Graham, Jason Voorhees himself, to do this month. That might actually come out in November, since we're bleeding over.
That's all right.
Because we usually take a break after Halloween, so that'll be cool to kind of fill in that gap.
It gets me in the mood for all the scary movies and all the fun, creative stuff that we do, you know.
All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Miss Jenny Lee Wax. We'll be talking about her time she spent living in a haunted house known as the Greg Hamilton House.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
I'm joined on the phone with Miss Jenny Lee. Is that how you want me to address you?
Jenny Lee, wax, that's good, whatever you want to call me.
Okay, and you're actually a resident of the Greg Hamilton House. What year or years did you live there?
Well, let's see, it was the year before my sister was born, so that was 1951, and I think we lived there 2 or 3 years.
Were you real young when you lived there?
Yes, yeah, well, I was looking at that, I was either 2 and a half or 3. Because she was born when I was 2 and a half, and it was May. And my birthday's not till August. So I was little, but I remember the first time I got out of my baby bed.
Wow, I can barely remember what shirt I wore yesterday. You got a much better memory than I. You were so young that I don't know if you might have, but did any other people that lived with you in the house, your family members, did they have any inkling that there was something paranormal going on there when y'all moved in, or did you find out later?
I don't think they knew. See, every time I would tell my mother that something happened and ask her, did she see it, she would always say, yes. And because, you know, she encouraged me to use my imagination a lot. But the grown-ups, nobody ever talked about it. I didn't even have an inkling that it was haunted until, we started getting on, like in 1998, and I got on the web, and then people were talking about it perhaps being haunted, or that there were some spirits there. And so I said, yes, I know they are, because I saw them.
About how long had you been living there when you started seeing or hearing things?
Well, I'm not good on that. Like, several months, I guess. And it was, for me, it was like, I woke up one night and the room was filled with bubbles, like all different colors, and they were sort of moving towards me, and I wasn't scared because they were all around. I asked my mother, did she see them the night before? And she said yes, but she might have just been, you know, saying that to make me feel all right. But I've looked all my life for the answer to what that was, and now I know they were orbs of some kind.
Right. So that was your first encounter?
Yeah. I had a couple more, and they weren't like that. One in particular, I was on the back porch, and back then it was real high up to me, and the railing wasn't, it was just so that a grown-up could reach their hand on it.
Uh-huh.
And so a little kid could just, you know, go tumbling off onto the ground. And one day I felt myself going down, like I was falling. And this nice black lady reached out her hands to get me and pull me back up. And I felt myself going down and coming back up. But I didn't know that lady. And nobody else did.
Well, you know, I did some reading online that there were people that have seen a black lady in a black dress, an elderly African-American lady in a black dress. Did this black lady have a black dress on as well?
No, she had like, you know, kind of like what they would wear to be a maid, a white. She didn't have a black dress. She was like a regular, just like of the era of the 1950s. I mean, just like a regular person.
So you could tell by her clothing that she was wearing that it was from a certain era.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty
crazy.
She
wasn't from back in the old days.
Well, that matches up, though, that you saw. And it was this lady elderly as well?
She was like a little over middle age.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Since you've moved out of the Greg Hamilton house, have you had any other paranormal experiences?
Several, yeah.
So you're a little bit sensitive to that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I used to be more so when I was like 12 or 13, and I would have dreams that would come true exactly like I dreamed of them. And then there have been times, mainly when I was with someone else, and we could feel, you know, like an angel walking by us or a ghost right there. And it was so intense that it would last for like 10 minutes. And both of us would feel that. And one time I was with this lady, and we looked up towards the top of the ceiling, you could see a face up there, just almost as plain as day. And it lasted a long time. I don't know who that was, or we just happened, things happen to me more when I'm with someone else than when I'm alone.
Now, when you moved out of the house initially, I know they say that spirits can attach to us.
And follow.
And follow you. Did after you moved out of that house, did you have anything that you thought might could have been from that house looking back on now, or do you think it's something?
I don't think so. I wish I could say I did, but...
So whatever was in that house stayed at that house then?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was something I created or if it was just there, because that house was so wonderful and it was happy, and I loved living there.
When you were having some of these experiences, did you ever at any time feel, I noticed you said that you felt happy, but did you ever feel frightened or dread or startled at all?
Not at all. And, you know, I didn't know they had that little prison down there for the Yankees until like in 98. We took a trip over to Mississippi and went to Aberdeen, and just as I was leaving, I went by the Greg Hamilton house and went up, knocked on the door, and this lady answered it, and I started telling her that I'd lived there, and I started crying, just thought, ooh, because it was like, you know, coming home or being where my mother and daddy were, and she understood and took me in and showed me all around the house, and it was almost like I remembered it with a few remodeling things.
Yeah, no, I know they say that sometimes when you remodel houses too, that can trigger activity up. If you were having happy experiences and stuff there, and nothing ever seemed to really bother you per se, you know, if anybody else had anything that might have been bothering them, it might be because they were making it upset because they were changing things around from what it was used to.
Yeah, well, they didn't do that till after we moved out, and I wish now that I could go like and sit in the house and just kind of be really quiet and see if something would happen.
That would be really cool.
That's cool that you got to go back and visit like your childhood home. Did the lady living there at that time, did she mention to you that she had any paranormal experiences at all?
No, she didn't. But she said people did. And the lady that owned the house before these people, I forget her name, was really old, and she was just about to die. So I didn't talk much to her. And I wish it could be more exciting in the telling.
I think the fact that you not only witnessed a full-blown ghost, but she actually saved you from bodily harm, and maybe even, I mean, a child falling from the second floor. I mean, you could almost say she saved your life.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I asked my mother who she was, and she had not seen that lady either.
After she helped you back up onto the platform area there, did she just vanish and go away, or do you remember what happened after that?
I remember she didn't say anything to me, and then I went inside, and then I never saw her again.
Was she smiling?
No. She was just, you know, like, I need to catch this little girl and put her up here, and then... That's the thing. She didn't talk to me or anything.
That's so crazy, you know, because I've heard other people have similar kind of incidents happen to them over time, and they have no explanation for it. Nobody knows who the person was or anything like that. Kind of like you said a while ago, could have been an angel, could have been a spirit. You just never know in that kind of aspect. But, you know, you're talking about your... actually witnessing and seeing orbs, that's a rare thing to see with your physical eye. I mean,
and that many.
Yeah. You said that didn't scare you at all?
No, I was mesmerized.
That would have unnerved me, I think, a little bit.
Well, I wonder if I kind of halfway lived between two worlds anyway.
I hear that.
You know, it was just, I've looked all my life and talked to lots of people and asked them, has that ever happened? Well, no. And they weren't very impressed by my story, but I wish I could see it again.
I think an angel or ghost or whatever it was that more or less saved your life is a pretty impressive story. I mean, like I said, you were like 3 years old and you falling from the second floor. I mean, you could have been you could have died from that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this other part of the story: the night of the bubbles.
Okay.
Daddy and I had gone to the store, and just as we were walking in, I saw a cat, and I had to every cat I ever saw, I had to, like, get my hands on him. So I ran after that cat, and we ran around the back, and it was dark, and I was going lickety-split, and the next thing you know, I crashed and tripped over some kind of concrete thing, and he was right behind me, Daddy was. So he picked me up, and blood was going everywhere, and we went to the emergency room at Aberdeen Hospital. And I remember the doctor telling me, no, hush up. And I'm sure they gave me some sort of little pain gel and stitched me up. I had a big old scar on my chin. And so that night, I slept with my mother in that particular room. And it's like the second room you go into. Like, if you're looking at the house, on the left side, there's an apartment, set of apartments. It was that set and like the second room in, and maybe it just made me more receptive to seeing that sort of thing.
That's
but that was sort of like angels too.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very possible, because I mean, it at that age, I've always heard that it opens your mindset up. I mean, your mind's what they call the mind's third eye, that's open, you know, all throughout your younger years and stuff. And anything like that, I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like wouldn't cause you to see that stuff, but I think it would probably open you up a little more to where you would be more susceptible to seeing it. The only thing I've ever seen before was, like, I might have caught some orbs on camera, on film or something. But but other than that, you know, to sit there and actually witness that stuff, now that I'm older, I don't know that it would bother me quite as bad. But at a younger age like that, it probably would have scared me to death.
Yeah, I already had an overactive imagination as a child. If you added something like that to it, that would have freaked me out.
I still do.
There's a lot of really old, really beautiful homes in Aberdeen in that area there. Did you ever get a chance to visit some of the other ones when you went back?
Oh, yeah. Daddy worked at the Richardson Chevrolet place, and he sold appliances and would take me with him sometimes when he delivered them. So he knew everybody in town, and he would show me one house and say, look, now this has double staircases here, and would tell me history of it. And so I got around. I loved those houses, and I've been possessed to have one ever since.
I would really, really enjoy having one too. I mean, those houses there, they do take pride in those houses, and they do try to keep them up for the most part. So, you know, that's always a plus to it. But at the same time, if any of those other houses were had spirits in them per se, then you know,
bet all, they did.
Yeah, I mean, all the because Aberdeen's a very historical town.
Yeah, I fly over there a lot in my dreams and go walk down the street like I did when I was little, and you know, back then, the kids could just go out and play and take their bikes and ride all over town, and nobody really worried about them. And I have a friend that she says that she saw like an actual manifestation, like a person in her grandmother's house. And it was, I think it was on that Franklin Street, but I'm not sure.
Have you ever heard of the Reich House?
I had not till I looked it up last night, and I'm sure I've seen it, but I did not had not. I don't have not been there. What's supposed to be there?
We're actually going to find out this weekend because I'm going to the Greg Hamilton house to talk to Tracy tomorrow night, and we're going to do a walkthrough. And and then Friday night, I'm going to, we're both going to the Reich house.
Are you going to spend the night?
We're not going to spend the night. We're just going to do a walkthrough. We're going to do some interviews, talk to some people like we're talking to you now. And
do a little investigating.
We've got some meters, some equipment that I know very little about, but Germ here, my co-host, he knows a lot about that stuff, and we got some little things that beep and light up, and we're gonna just do this a little. I just call it a walkthrough. It's not a full blown investigation.
Or do you have psychic people on your team?
I have dealt with a couple outside of my team before, but my old team, I never actually had somebody that was, you know, full-blown psychic. There's, we've had some that were, like, empathic, and then we've had some that just, like me, are, you know, really sensitive to kind of stuff. But as far as a full-blown psychic goes, no, ma'am, we hadn't had anybody, you know, on our team, but we did have people outside of the team we worked with.
They used to call Germ here the ghost magnet.
Yeah.
Who's the ghost magnet?
Germ, the other guy here talking to you, he's on his old paranormal team, they called him a ghost magnet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We went out to the old Aberdeen Cemetery recently. I imagine you've probably been out there, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. You know, when I was younger, and then just for a second or two when I went on that trip. And I think, you know, there must be some more experiences somewhere in my life. But I want to see a real one. I mean, I want to see something somebody said, you better not mess with that stuff.
Yeah. Right.
But I want to.
It sounds like you already have. If one rescued you off the balcony, that's a pretty strong encounter.
Right. I mean, there have been other people in my life that have come and gone that quickly before. I mean, again, but you know how when you're little, you kind of live in a dream world.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Did you have anything else you wanted to run by us or tell us about?
Not right now.
Well, if you think of something,
I've gotten to the blank part. You know, when somebody says, like, if you go to an audition and they say, "Oh, tell us about yourself," and then you go, "I can't even remember the name."
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, if you have anything else, if you think of something the next couple of days, we're friends on Facebook, so just hit me up and let me know. I'd be glad to hear from you again.
Okay, and I hope I don't drive you crazy because I'll start yakking and telling all kinds of stories.
Oh, no, we love it.
Oh, goody. Well, when does your actual podcast happen?
Typically, we record on Sundays or Mondays, and the podcast comes out Wednesday. The month of October is always really crazy. This interview here probably will come out either tomorrow or the next day, before the weekend.
Mm, don't you love Halloween?
Yes. For the podcast, the October is the biggest month for us because we kind of celebrate Halloween all month long with the paranormal. Yeah. And not just the paranormal, but the fictional side of things with, like, actors and actresses. We've had a lot of authors on the show that have written a lot of paranormal books and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, Dr. Alan Brown, who's been on our podcast before, has written in one of his books about the Greg Hamilton house.
You know what? I have to really take some more time and look through your Facebook deal and your website so I can catch up.
Yeah.
You've been doing this how long?
Please do. This will be our 81st episode.
81st episode.
So we've been doing it since early 2015, I believe.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and like I said, we do shows year-round, but during October we really focus more on the Halloween-related stuff.
Well, are you dressing up?
I am, actually. We're Germ here, my co-host, he makes Jason masks, you know, from Friday the 13th.
Did I see that?
Yeah, we posted some of that online. He actually makes those, and we're going to a party, and all of us are going to be dressed as Jason.
Oh, Jesus.
We're calling it Infinite Jasons.
It's gonna be a... I hope you have a good time.
Oh, for sure. It's going
to
be a blast.
It's so nice talking to you.
Well, it's been really nice talking to you. I'm really glad we did this because I'm going to do this walkthrough, and I'm going to talk to Tracy this weekend, and getting to talk to you before I go is kind of like a little prequel, you know, to set us up, somebody that's actually lived there, and then I get to talk to the lady that actually owns it and actually go there myself. So I'm really excited about it now, especially after talking to you.
Oh, gosh. I just met her on Facebook because I had thought, oh, I can buy this house when it came up for sale. But I just, you know, drug my feet and didn't do it. And there's an addition onto the house, like if you're facing it, kind of to the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where my room was. I know another lady who lived there just before we did, and she's still living, and she's in Aberdeen.
Okay, and you talked to her?
I don't know her phone number or anything, but she knew my parents before I was born. And my mother used to teach dancing, and she had a whole bunch of costumes down in the basement. And when this little girl was little, she got in there, and Mama got mad at her, but then ended up teaching her how to tap. And let me send her a note.
Did she tell you about any paranormal experiences she had there?
No. In fact, she's one of the ones that told me to not do it because she had had some, but she didn't elaborate on them.
Okay.
Huh. That sounds interesting, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's the way some people, I think, cope with those kind of experiences they can't explain, is that they try to not necessarily ignore them, but, kind of put it out of sight, out of mind, and not talk about it because they're afraid that it somehow, if they talk about it or if they believe it too much themselves, that maybe opens them up to something.
Well, yeah. I'm excited that you're going, and if I come up with something else, I'll write it to you, okay?
That'll be great. I really had fun talking to you. I'm so glad you called in for a few minutes and had this conversation with us. I'm really looking forward to it, especially now.
Oh, goody. Oh, goody. Me too. Take care.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling us, and you have a good night, okay?
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Shadow Stalkers Paranormal is a nonprofit organization, a level-headed team with a knowledgeable background who tries to explain and debunk, not taking things solely as paranormal.
They try to help their clients with an understanding about the paranormal.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal also gives back to the community by way of sponsorships, such as this one, fundraisers for historical sites, and individuals with terminal illnesses.
They strive to make their team better and make a difference.
You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/ShadowStalkersParanormal 38821. They're ready to believe you. All right, keeping it Halloween themed, the movie that doesn't suck for this episode, that a lot of people said that it did suck, and we think they were wrong, is, tell them.
Freddy versus Jason.
Freddy versus Jason.
Movies that don't suck, even though people say they do.
God, that's awful. What's wrong with you people? Okay, let me say what I didn't like about the movie, so that then I can tell you all the stuff I did like about it. Let me get that out of the way. Number one, Kane Hodder should have played Jason in this movie. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah, it has to be said.
It needs to be said because that's what we built up all this. I mean, for 15 or more years, this matchup that everybody wanted to see, Kane Hodder played Jason through the majority of that build-up, and he was playing it all the way up to that point. And then all of a sudden, because in our minds we wanted Freddie versus Jason and Robert Englund versus Kane Hodder.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden they just switch a new Jason on us. And I'm like, it's not that I think Kane Hodder would be the be-all, end-all Jason. I thought he was great as Jason, obviously. But, well, for example, the remake. I'm fine with him casting a new Jason in the remake because it's a new thing.
Yeah.
This is not a new thing. This is something that's been going on for years. Yeah. They teased it in Jason Goes to Hell when Freddy's glove came out of the ground.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, you remember Fangor magazine?
Fangoria, yeah.
Yeah, they always had this big build-up article all throughout the 90s even of Freddy versus Jason, Freddy versus Jason. And it took them forever to let it get there to happen. And it wasn't Kane.
I know. I just kind of felt... And that's one reason why you get so much backlash from the diehard fans. Now, the casual fan, they probably... I mean, to them, they're like, you can throw a hockey mask on anybody in there, Jason. Which we know that to be incorrect. Right. You can't just throw a hockey mask on somebody and they're Jason. There's a lot more to it than that, but the hardcore fans, they're a little upset. And no disrespect to the gentleman that played Jason. I mean, he did a great job. And I would have been fine with him being Jason in any other movie, you know, after this one.
Yeah.
So it's not that he did a terrible job. I think he did a great job, actually. It's just I wanted to see Jason. I wanted to see the Jason that we knew.
Yeah, the one we were familiar with.
The one that we did the build-up with. The second thing I didn't like about it, I think they should have done whatever it took to recast the original lady that played Jason Voorhees' mom.
Yeah.
And I know it, at least I think I know it to be factual, that they offered her the part. And it's rumored that she turned it down because they offered her some ridiculously low ball. Like, they didn't offer enough money.
They wanted to pay her 80s price.
I don't know what that offer was or wasn't, but it's heavily rumored that that's why she didn't take it, because they insulted her with what they were going to pay her.
Right.
And I'm like, look, two things need to happen. She needs to, you know, humble up and come down on her price, because this is something awesome for the fans. Like, how cool, going back to your diehard fans, man, that would have knocked this out of the park if you'd have had Kane Hodder and the original Jason's mom, because she's still alive and well. That would have been awesome. She should have worked with them, and they should have worked with her to do whatever it took to make that happen. Even though it was a small part in the movie, I think it would have been much more impactful.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only complaint that I have about the movie is, instead of doing it more of a Friday the 13th style movie, they did it more in the later Freddy Nightmare on Elm Street film style, where it was just corny. And
Betsy Palmer.
Yeah, that was her name.
I had to look up her name. I couldn't remember.
I kept wanting to say Betsy Ross, but that wasn't right.
Uh-oh. I don't think she's alive anymore.
Oh, yeah.
She was when this film was made.
Yeah.
Was it what year? Did she die in...
2015.
Yes, it's 1926 through 2015. So yeah. She's recently passed. But again, she was alive and well during that movie.
Right.
But go ahead.
But what I was saying is they did it in a good slasher film style, but it did have some really corny places in it. That being said, the one part of the whole movie that I just had to sit there and look at, like, what the hell, is you remember where Freddy and Jason are doing their big battle?
Yeah.
And he's got Jason bouncing around all these...
Like a pinball? Like a pin.
That, to me, I was just like, no. No.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because that goes back to something we talked about. And again, I get the podcast mixed up with my real life, so I don't know if we talked about this on air or off air, but we talked about how I really liked Freddy's humor, but you sacrificed a little bit of his scariness when you started making him funny.
Yeah.
And they stayed true to the character by keeping those silly things in there, but I'm just not a huge fan of, like, I don't want to. I want a terrifying Freddy, like part one and two. I don't want a silly, fun, like cute Freddy.
I think this is what we was talking about on one.
And he slowly more and more like when he had a when he did that Bon Appetit bitch. I mean, it made everybody laugh, and even I like it, but. I don't know. It's a very fine line you ride there between being funny and being terrified.
Well, you know,
it's hard to be both.
Freddy's supposed to be a really dark character.
Oh yeah,
based off of a real character, minus the supernatural side of the whole thing. But when they add too much comedy into it, it does start losing its meaning. But overall, the movie was good. It had a great story plot.
Yeah, I loved how the way they got rid of Freddy was by forgetting about him.
Yeah.
And they even had that drug that made people not dream. So he wasn't strong enough to do it himself, so he tricks Jason into being his henchman. Then Jason turns on him, and they battle it out in the real world. I mean, they brought it together nicely. I love that about it. I don't have many... I mean, those two complaints that I just gave are really my only complaints.
Yeah, I mean, that's my only complaint.
The big cornfield party was awesome, where Jason just goes through there just blah, just murdering people.
Yeah.
Oh, the part where the dude's sitting there on the porch and, like, his head falls off. I'm like, his head fell off because Jason cut it off.
Yeah, people have no idea. Like
you,
when we watch,
died from Jason cutting your head off.
When we watch these movies and stuff like that, it's just like... watching a football game with us, because anytime something epic happens like that, we're all yelling and shouting and hollering out at just how amazing it was. And the beautiful thing about most of that is, I'm not sure about with like Freddy versus Jason, there was a lot of CGI effect kind of stuff in it, but there was a lot of practical effect stuff
too. Yeah, I don't think they overdid the CGI.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that I think they did, but you know how Hollywood does seem to phone in on that a lot more now, just because they can get more money out of, you know, producers and stuff like that. But like even watching back the old early Freddy or Jason kills, and they use the practical effects, you can see that now because we were spoiled to the CGI. But back then. You thought, like, Kevin Bacon got an arrow through the throat, you know?
I think I'm forever ruined on CGI because of the prequels and Optimus Prime's lips and or eyelids.
Eyebrows.
His eyebrows. Eyelashes. Eyelids. Yeah, I mean, he can wink at you. I don't want an Optimus Prime that can wink. He was just fine with his fake robot eyes blinking.
Right.
Like from not bright to bright blue, that would have been fine.
And you know, like on the cartoon,
he had the mouthpiece.
He had the grill part of him or whatever. It just moved up and down. But
I shouldn't chase that rabbit because I could start bitching about Transformers and we'd be here a while. Let's get back to Freddy versus Jason.
Back to Freddy versus Jason.
Still my favorite part of all time. It still gets me to this day. And I was in the theater when I saw this. And the part where Freddy realizes he's not in Dream World anymore, and he turns around, his jaw drops, he realizes Jason is right there, this is real now.
Yeah.
And he just looks terrified. Like Robert Englund's
performance was
great.
Oh shit moment.
Yeah, he had a holy shit moment, and Jason's there, and I mean, I love how they played off each other's strengths. Like, Freddy was way faster than Jason, but Jason was much more powerful.
Yeah.
Like, Jason would pick him up and, like, run him through a whole wall.
Yeah, because,
like,
I mean,
10
like,
windows.
Because, like, in Dream World, Freddy is the one with the superpowers. When he comes over to the real world, he's just a burnt guy with a claw. He has none of that supernatural power about him, and Jason does in this world. So, you know, I agree with you there.
Another thing I liked, and... we touched on this a little bit when we talked to CJ, which y'all will be hearing in a couple episodes. Jason, people like to root for Jason because he's the underdog, and they really played off that. Because if you think about it, okay, Freddy's background is that he's a murderous, child-killing, you know, jail-time-dodging...
Sicko
that gets burned up. But that's his backstory. Jason's backstory, he's a kid that got picked on and drowned. I'm not saying all the stuff he did after that was honorable. But it's a
you gotta have sympathy for him.
It's like, yeah, you can't help but feel sorry for him. I mean, he's this mongoloid kid that people picked on him, and they showed that in the movie, him getting bullied. He drowned as a result of negligence. I mean, he wasn't this terrible person that became a bad person.
No.
But well, then, he did become a bad person, but he didn't start out evil like I think Freddy did.
Well, you know, the thing about it to me is you said is he drowned. I have to say, or did he?
Or did he?
Because it says that he saw his mom get beheaded. So, was he back from the dead from, like, drowned?
That's a whole nother discussion from another day, because
we could have a whole
because there's that whole
discussion.
Time period of between part one and two, like,
oh yeah,
when and where did Jason grow up? Because he was a grown up in part two, and in part one he was a kid,
right?
So,
and he learned a lot
that's,
of stuff. So
there's a lot of inconsistencies you could point out in the Freddy and Jason movies, but all in all, I think they tied it up very well. I really wanted there to be another one. I love how they did the Stan Lee approach to the ending where nobody clearly won. I think Jason got the upper hand.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Freddy winks as Freddy would.
Yeah.
You know, in that situation, and it left it open for them to go forward with the franchise, and I really wish they would have.
But how does Freddy,
and now it's like, now I feel like it's too late.
Does Freddy come back or go back into the dream world from this world? Is the question that was unanswered for me.
Well, he went back and forth throughout all the Freddy movies.
Yeah, but like when he finally got bettered,
he would
by
like
Jason.
Die, and he would like die into the dream world, basically.
Yeah,
I guess.
I guess that's how
he
it
turned back
for
into
him.
A dream world demon,
right?
I suppose. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about it.
It didn't suck if you haven't seen
it. Didn't suck. There's
it.
So many people that said it did. I'm not even going to look up the ratings, but I know there was a lot of outrage. And the things that people were outraged about, as I've expressed, I was too, but it didn't make me not like the movie.
Right.
It didn't make the movie suck. It made me disappointed that Kane Hodder wasn't Jason. It made me disappointed they didn't have Jason's original mom, but... Yeah. It didn't ruin the film.
Like I said, there was one scene in the movie that I just completely disagreed with, but other than that, the whole rest of the movie was fantastic.
Oh, and we would be remiss if we didn't brag on the soundtrack to that movie.
Yeah, you're
that
right.
That soundtrack and the score, both. Like,
yeah.
That's back when, well, of course, nowadays, I don't even know if they release CDs for sound movie soundtracks at all, but you would get two. You would get the score, which is the background music playing throughout the movie, and then you would get the actual soundtrack. And I had like all these metal bands and like heavy stuff that I like to listen to. And I was like, yes, that was one of the last like great soundtracks back in soundtrack days.
Yeah, you're right.
Now I guess they put stuff on iTunes or whatever, but they don't do soundtracks like they used to. And they certainly don't spend big money. Like what really made soundtracks fun for me is when a band that I liked would put a song on a soundtrack and it was exclusive.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go, here's one off their last album, you can just use it. Like, no, this was that movie's song. And
yeah,
that's
wrote
the way
for
you could,
that movie.
That's how you could hear it. Yeah, come to think of it, like, both of those franchises have had some pretty killer songs and soundtracks tied to them.
Yeah. A lot of the horror movies from...
To me, that's so important. The music that goes with a movie, especially a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really give a... I mean, I don't know what kind of music plays in the background of a romantic comedy, but, like, the drama of the movie is really... It's almost like that's 50% of the delivery is the music that's playing while it's happening.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I have to say about Freddy vs. Jason. I thought it was really good. It was way better than some of the other Jason movies and some of the other Freddy movies. Not that I absolutely hate any of them, but... I'm not going to go into which ones I don't like. That's a whole nother.
Right.
Oh, and one other thing. Well, a couple of things while we're on the... The Jason kick. I wanted to point out something that I didn't know until recently. The original idea for part six had a different ending. It ended with, you know, the old man that was the caretaker at the cemetery?
Yeah.
That was always pissed off, like, those damn kids messing with Jason's grave, and right, he's always drinking. Jason stabs him with a whiskey ball. In the original script, he didn't die. You saw him again at the end. And this mysterious guy walks up and, like, pays him some money for taking care of Jason's grave. And he's, like, standing there looking at the grave, and you find out that man that's paying the caretaker to take care of Jason's grave is his father.
Oh, wow.
And that was going to, like, open up a whole thing about Jason Voorhees, his dad, that's never been explored in the movies.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that ties into something you said on here. You said your dad had the novel.
Yeah.
I think they have that in there in the book. But in the movie, they took it out.
I'm going to have to see if he still has that book.
And they talk about Jason's dad in the comics, too, but never really in the movies.
Right.
Another interesting tidbit was how Goonies changed the course is that, you know, Corey Feldman was Tommy in 4. And at the end of part 4, they kind of alluded to the fact that Tommy was going to kind of take over for Jason.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the recasted older Tommy in part 5, they tried to steer it that way again at the end of that one.
Yeah,
remember,
at the
in
the
hospital.
Of the movie, yeah.
So that was the idea going forward, is that this imposter Jason in part 5 was supposed to be Tommy.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was Corey Feldman and did the Goonies and casted him for that. So he couldn't do it. So they said, well, we'll just have some other guy be the imposter Jason.
Yeah.
And imagine how that would have been different.
You know, looking back on it, part 5 and part 6, even though the movies are two different things, because part 5, you know, spoiler alert, doesn't have Jason in it, but it had Tommy Jarvis. And then you see the way that ended, with him having the mask on and all that. But then in part 6, Tommy Jarvis is back, warning people about Jason.
Yeah, he's going to burn Jason, essentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, they left a lot of
little
loose
inconsistencies
ends
there, but I think that's from what I saw and read, they wanted it to be Jason Voorhees to pass the torch to Tommy.
Yeah.
And I would have wanted Jason to come back like he did, but I think that might have changed people's view of part 5 if it had been Tommy in the mask the whole time. That'd have been more accepted by the fans, I think.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have that.
Instead
super
of just being like, I don't know, let's pick the ambulance driver. That was his kid that got killed. Let's stick him in there.
It wouldn't have had that supernatural aspect behind it at that point.
Well, they wouldn't have had a backstory.
Right.
Like Tommy did in the film. Yeah. In the franchise. But anyway, that was a couple of cool tidbits. I also wanted to talk about the mask thing. I know if people follow us at all online, they know that you are making Jason masks.
I am.
And I think that's really cool. I have one. Kelly has one.
Sean has one.
You have Infinity. Sean has one. If y'all want to commish him to make you a mask, he'll do it for you. And you'll do one from any
of the movies except for Jason X, because there's just no way to take these existing blank masks and make it into that. But eventually I will figure out a way to do that. But then again, that's the only mask out of all of them I didn't like.
You've gotten a lot of requests for masks. Has anybody wanted a Jason X?
No, not yet. Everybody has wanted either the remake, part 6.
Mine's a part 6.
Chris Burke, shout out to him for that one. And part 11. And then Kelly got a part 3. He wanted a part 3 Jason. And it's just, it's all about the painting.
Hey, and if you really want to have a cool display, get him to make you one from every movie.
Yeah, I've actually got a commission for that.
Part 1 will be easy.
Yeah.
Just got to get a barrel sack. Just got to hold a sack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you're doing that. And this is something that's a good time to kick it off around Halloween. And this can carry over year-round, because Jason isn't just Halloween. He's timeless.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's funny. It goes back to, like, the hardcore fans versus the casual fans. Like, I feel like, and there was probably a time when I'd have been this way. It'd have been like, if you showed me a hockey mask with a little red triangle on it, I'd have been like, yeah, Jason.
Yeah.
But there really is a distinct difference between each movie.
Yeah.
Like, they all have some more subtle than others. And we talked about this earlier, how it changes throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Because at the end of part six, you know, the bottom of his mask gets messed up by the boat motor. And we talked about the chain. Like, you could actually wear a chain and still be Jason in part six, but you would be Jason at the very end of part six.
Yeah. And you know, in part seven, he's been underwater a while.
You need a rustier chain.
Yeah, the chain has a little bit of oxidation to it, so... That's right. You're doing a part six mask, and the one I did for me was a part seven. You know, I'm really enjoying doing this stuff, and me and Kelly, I talked about it the other night, and we're going to try to blend it in as much as we can with Anarchy Design. You can hit us up on Anarchy Design, or you can hit me up, either one. Let me know which mask you want, if you have a favorite mask from movies.
I'll tell you what.
Just not part 10.
If one of our listeners will order a mask, I will throw in a Kill Pop Culture sticker.
Oh, look at there.
I'm all about pimping out those stickers.
Oh, and look, I will even do custom jobs if it's in my means of being able to do it. I know we've talked about doing a...
He's going to do me an Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Jason
Mills. And even a Kill Jay.
That's right. You were going to try to incorporate Kill Pop Culture and Kill Jay into it. That would be really cool.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot more space for hanging these masks up.
For sure. Well, that was our Movies That Don't Suck for this episode. Go watch Freddy vs. Jason again. It wasn't as bad as people say it was.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
See, now y'all are talking about temperature.
We're talking
about temperature. So now audio is in Celsius and Fahrenheit?
Why not?
Yeah.
All right, check this out. We're doing lists.
Why are you so much louder than us?
Because my voice projects. I know how to do this.
Oh, okay.
He's a professional. Yeah.
He's a professional.
He is a professional.
We are doing lists. And,
Hey, what was that?
Oh, Sierra's got a drink.
I'm just refereeing this.
That's a drinking game.
Like, this isn't me. I'm fixing to step out of the equation and just let y'all take this because you know what to do. I'm just going to kind of referee in the background and interrupt and be annoying. But I want everybody, we have Kelly's list, Sean's list, and Anthony's list.
Okay, what about the email list? Are we going to include it on this one?
I think three at a time is good. We got a whole
month. That's fine.
Yeah, calm down. Calm your breasts.
We got 30 answers.
Calm your breasts.
Well, no, me and Anthony's got 15, so we got 30 ourselves.
Start with number 10. We're going to go this way. Anthony's going 10. Sean 10, you 10.
Do we want to do honorable mentions first?
Absolutely. Honorable mentions first.
Yeah, there you go.
Just go ahead and name all your honorable mentions.
I'm not going to name them all because it's got no. My honorable mention is Leprechaun.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
I just didn't know where. Space, right?
No, the original Leprechaun.
Very first Leprechaun one. X.
With Jennifer Aniston. She was in that.
She was, wasn't
yes,
she?
She was.
Damn.
She was hot in that because she's hot now. She's 60.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a time when she's not hot?
No.
She'll
I don't think so either. Dead. Probably. All right, so you're just going to name one honorable mention? Man, that's all you're going to go with?
I mean, I got more.
Come on. Name at least two more.
There you go, girl.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with like Bram Stoker's Dracula and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Because
those two are great ones. They're classics.
You got Robert De Niro playing Frankenstein, which was his best acting job ever. To me.
Wow. Hey, I said I wasn't going to say nothing.
Wow, that is really good.
And you got Gary Oldman in Dracula.
But yes. Did you play the Bram Stoker's Dracula pinball machine game?
No.
Oh my God, it was great.
I think I did. I think y'all love pinball.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it was pinball. There's no bad pinball.
The Star Wars pinball.
Uh-oh. Let's just calm down right now.
It's pretty great.
Let's calm down right now.
Slayer's breaking the golden rule already.
Did you break the bro code?
Yes, he did.
He just tried to pull it. Dude, it's clockwise or counterclockwise.
That was your honorable mentions, right?
Bumping bellies over here.
Sean's over like, on God.
No, I don't.
You don't? I'm not going to name all five of mine. I won't do that.
Name the best one.
My honorable mentions. I'm just going to
name.
Name
all five of them.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, hell, it's not like we're wasting money.
Yeah. In no particular order, The Fly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't think about that.
That movie was great to me.
It was kind of creepy.
I mean, I don't know if it was horror. It's more sci-fi, kind of.
It's like sci-fi horror.
Original or no deal? Fly.
Oh, the one that Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum. I'm not talking about the original one.
No, yeah.
I don't think I ever actually seen the original. Critters.
Oh,
the first
yeah.
one scared the ever loving crap out of me.
Yeah,
that's just your age, because when Critters came out for me, I was a little older than what you was when it came out.
Older.
And I just remember it had boobs in it.
I was a kid when Critters came out.
It did have boobs in it.
It had boobs in it.
And she had the staple right there, and she pulled the staple out. Ghoulies.
Oh, that's another. The ones that come out of the toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
They get your ass.
Child's Play.
All up in that ass.
Yeah.
And Tales from the Dark Side.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot all about
the movie. Yeah. That was great.
Ain't that the one with that creepy guy that was like kind of looking like Jeepers Creepers?
No. That was Tales from the Crypt.
No, there was...
Tales from the Dark Side was just a compilation of
yeah, but didn't it sound like a comic book thing, and there was like this weird goblin looking dude?
That was Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt.
That was a Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was really a TV show.
So was Tales from the Dark Side originally.
Yeah, but they had the actual movie.
They had a movie. Well, they had a Tales from the Crypt movie, too.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bordello of Blood.
Yeah.
Damn, that'd been another good one to throw on the honorable mentions.
What's number 10?
My number 10 is The Gate.
Ah,
nice. Very nice.
Mine is House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yes, sir.
Because at the time, I don't think...
what year was that?
Yeah, that's what
2000...
It's
going to be earlier than we think.
It was on that... It was during the Rob Zombie's second album, album, Sinister Urge. 2001, 2002.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Somewhere in there. And I just remember watching that just being like, holy shit, like, there was nothing... at that time like it, and it was such a curveball to what horror movies were
starring a K-pop culture alone
and all that.
That's right.
Yeah, he's been here.
Bill Moseley.
Have you heard the interview we did with Bill Moseley?
Not yet.
For the HorrorCon?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I think
he's awesome.
I know you've heard the bumper.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's your number 10?
My number 10, and you know, it's kind of bad that I put it here as number 10, but Psycho.
Which one?
The original song.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay.
I like the one with Vince Vaughn. That was creepy.
So that was creepy, but I mean, it's Hitchcock.
I know.
It really should be number one, but...
Hey, top 10 is still a good place to be.
Yep.
Yeah. My 9 is Insidious.
Oh! That's
the first one. I got abuse. It's a... I only have two modern...
Damn, Slayer. Yeah. Thank you.
I hit his beer. I knocked his beer down.
I think Big will drink it.
Yeah, Insidious was a good one.
Insidious was
the best modern scary movie.
Best modern ghost movie.
Right, yeah.
Because also,
what about the sequels? I mean, did it hold up?
Part 3 is awesome. I've seen part 3.
They're good, but they're not.
I guess the first,
not,
you know,
it's
the
not
first
number one scary.
The first one always has that first shock of what.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm going. Yeah, you had your expectations was.
Yeah, you kind of know the story and all that stuff in the sequels that follow, but the first one is like, oh damn.
Well, see, that's the great thing about part 3. No spoilers, but it is literally a prequel,
dude.
A first prequel.
Yeah. No spoilers. Don't make it not a spoiler.
Well, that's not a spoiler. We still got to do our nines.
Yeah.
Y'all are talking too much.
I'm sorry, we're talking
about this podcast.
Number 9 for me would be Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Oh snap! Come on with it.
But I have to throw in Jason X and Freddy vs. Jason, and then the last one, just because it's all those are my favorite ones.
Yeah.
So you just put
all of them.
Your number
all
eight
four
is
of
like
them.
Nine.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's fine because, I mean, it's a franchise.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about it.
Six.
I got to ask you, what's your least favorite Jason movie?
The one he goes to hell. That was hell number nine. Stupid. Completely stupid.
Well, you had 5 minutes at the beginning that was good, and like 10 minutes at the end.
Here's Jason.
And then you had like an hour and a half of shit.
Here's the main guy that's not in the movie.
Yeah. And the whole Jason.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Jason can possess people.
Yeah. Mark's least favorite Friday the 13th. I like.
Five?
Yeah. I hate number one for the same reason he hates number five.
Why is that?
I'll say
because Jason's not in it.
Oh, I like number one.
But it's the perfect setup.
Yeah, I like
How
number
did you
one.
Hate number one?
To me, it was the worst one to me.
No.
To me, one and two combined are
like
the
they didn't
two
even,
was the best. To me.
They didn't even know that it was going to become a thing, though.
Oh yeah, I realize that.
They had no idea.
I realize that
it was the perfect setup.
But yeah, that to me that was my least favorite one.
I couldn't disagree more.
That's okay. Because my number nine, is The Shining.
Whoa, whoa.
Okay. Whoa! Oh, throw the curveball on you.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
The Shining scared the crap out of me
because it was the perfect breakdown of somebody losing their mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The twins.
Oh yeah, it's good. I read the book. It's good.
Elevator of Blood.
If you have it on audio, I'd like to listen to that.
I think I checked it out from the library.
We could probably get it.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to talk, and all of
you. Right, sure, you can talk.
Yeah, but I don't even know if
your commentary is great.
Yeah, you ain't going to be able to hear it.
I actually don't have mine. What are we on, number eight?
Yeah, number eight.
I don't have my eight on here, but I'm going to insert it.
Hey, we didn't know that.
Because
you just lied.
I'm not going to lie. It probably should have been an honorable mention, but I it's a good movie. I like it. I'll watch it now if it comes on. April Fool's Day. You remember April Fool's Day?
I remember it, but I don't.
It was a horror movie.
Never seen.
Kinda. They all went to go off to this. All these friends met up. They went to this little house to camp out. All of them did, and then people, each one of them, started dying slowly. I don't want to give
was
it away.
Was it a B-ray?
I'm gonna have to add that to my.
Or was it?
You need to watch it. Especially if you haven't seen. It was the 80s. It's a good one. I'll watch it now if it comes on.
Well, to me, that's the test of time.
That's the test. Yeah,
it's a good horror movie. And me and you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, if you watch it again, watching movies again on repeat, especially the 80s movie, because it's just so weird. The cinematography is off, everything, if it's not digital.
Not to mention cheesy plot lines.
Yes.
Right, Sean, you're number.
Number eight. Mine is Bride of Chucky. I just thought it was awesome. The music, the soundtrack is killer. And what's her face? Is
Jennifer
so
Tilly.
Hot. Yeah. Oh, man.
Cannot disagree.
She can have all my babies. Every last one of them. I'll have her babies. That's how hot she is.
My number eight should probably be, it's another one that should probably be up higher on the list, but The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's scary.
The movie was scary. And going back to the test of time, if you'd watch it again, that's how scary it is. I don't think I can watch this again because it was so scary.
How old were you when you saw it the first time?
I think we told the story before, but it was...
Way too young to be watching 15? Shit like that?
No, about 15 years ago.
I had the number seven.
Number seven, Saw.
Really?
Yes.
You went modern day with it.
Any particular one or the
just
whole
one.
Franchise?
Just one.
Just first
just
one?
Just one. One is the best. Yeah.
To me, it was the best.
Don't watch the rest of them.
Nobody, I don't care who you are, nobody knew what was going to happen.
Nobody knew. You cannot sit there and say, I knew it was going to.
No,
you didn't. You're lying.
Yeah, you just, no idea. Yeah, that
you're trying to be cooler than
everybody
else, and you're not. There's no way you predicted that. That, the finale of a movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's a funny thing.
Besides,
I haven't watched any of the songs.
Oh my God!
You
besides
need to watch
April,
the first one.
And the thing about it is,
just watch the first one.
I haven't watched any of them.
Joan, Skellige, the finale for Saw kind of ties. It's kind of similar to the finale for April Fool's Day. That's why I like April Fool's Day.
Okay.
You gotta watch April Fool's Day if you like Saw.
We'll see if we can't find it later.
And Mark definitely needs to watch Saw.
Yeah, he does.
It's great. I don't like modern-day horror movies, but I'll give it a shot.
Dude, you're watching City.
It's nothing.
I don't want to be that guy.
It's so good.
It's almost like an independent film.
All in itself. The way it was shot.
The way
it's
great.
My number seven is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the remakes of 2003 and 2006. Because when they brought those back, like that, you could be in Texas somewhere and that's going on.
Yeah.
Or probably is going on somewhere in Texas. Just this messed up family and like the...
But that could be anywhere, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or anywhere, you know.
That's where we're
anywhere headed. Where like an industrial kind of thing that had companies that shut down and left the Detroit and left the towns. Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah, yeah. Detroit. All that
stuff. The Flint, Michigan Chainsaw
Massacre. Yeah. Yep.
All right, my number seven is American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yes.
Dude, that wood scene where he wakes up in the bed in the woods, or she wakes up in the bed in the woods, and the werewolf comes up, I pissed myself. When
all
I
practical that. Effects.
Yes.
You yeah. You watched a guy transform from a human to a werewolf.
Right in front of
you. Right in front of you, yes. With no CGI, because it didn't exist then.
And it was the worst looking werewolf
that set
ever.
The standard. But still, yeah, it was. That set the standard for practical effects, though.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, every makeup artist, like, worships that movie because yeah. of that.
But, yeah, that good, movie good scared choice. Me. I was young when I seen it.
Number six?
So. My number six, Child's Play.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just...
What's your favorite one, the first one?
The first one.
You know, that's one of those.
Hey, that last
one. It really
one?
Doesn't matter which one it is. It's still a good movie.
Yeah.
He never really changed much.
They just did a new one, but the one before that was really good, actually.
Part two was bad.
Chucky or something?
Yeah, yeah. Not that one. The one that was right before that.
That they did a couple of years ago.
No, it was after that.
After that one? I don't
remember. It was really good. It had nothing to do with.
The seed of Chucky is just weird with that little email.
Yeah. Seed of Chucky. Yeah.
How'd that go?
It had Jennifer Tilly in it, though. It was
all yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
As long as she was
yeah.
in
she's
it.
She's in it, tied up. Like,
gotta watch it.
Yep. My number six is Halloween number one. And,
yes.
And the Rob Zombie Halloween one. Because both of them are equally awesome.
Yeah, they're great.
I agree.
My number six is a Blair Witch Project. To me...
Yeah.
Did you listen to the last episode of Kill Bob Cult?
I did, but you know I made my list before that.
Yeah. So that's...
Because you were supposed to read it last weekend, that's but you couldn't circle. Find it.
Well, I found it, but...
Well, you couldn't read it.
Well, you wrote like 5 pages of this shit. Which
well,
means
I'm
you...
very thorough. I love my horror movies,
hey,
man.
Hey, no, that's not a...
But that movie was way ahead of its time.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. And everybody hated it when it first came out.
I don't see why.
Everybody's like dogging on it. Oh, it was stupid. I don't know.
Everybody dogs on it now. They're like, oh my God, it was so fake. And you're like,
watching
go camping.
Watching Go Camping.
Exactly.
Hey, I gave you credit for that statement.
You're watching Go Camping.
True.
That's what I say about Children of the Corn.
Because
I was born in Nebraska and lived on a farmhouse.
You were a child of the corn.
Well, the Children of the Corn thing and the movie Signs.
Signs.
Oh,
was
yeah,
good.
That was a good one.
You don't realize how creepy that is.
That's a good one.
You don't realize how creepy that is unless you're living in a farmhouse on a farm where there's corn on one side of your house pretty much all the way around it, and then a wheat field in the front yard.
There's another scary movie
and
like
then,
that too.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't remember the name.
And then it's out in the country.
Which one?
So it's just
The Messengers. It's surrounded by corn too.
Yeah.
That's on Kara Brooks' list.
See, I wouldn't consider Signs, though, a horror movie.
No.
It's more of a sci-fi, but it did have a scary point.
Yeah,
yeah.
It did have a scary point.
Some of my honorable mentions are crossover movies that have horror elements, but not horror movies.
Well, that's like mine, The Fly. That was really...
Yeah, that was sci-fi, but horror, too.
My number five is the original Poltergeist. Terrifying.
Are we on five
now, the
or six?
Remake... Do what?
I thought we were on six.
Was we?
Yeah.
No, because I just said my six.
No, we're on five.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said your five?
I haven't said my five. Hey, but
did you not?
No, you said.
Yeah,
but it's fine. But I said my six. You said your six. Then you said your five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
damn,
fine.
I'm throwing that whole thing off.
No, you're not.
Your five.
Yeah. My Exorcist.
Okay. Your five?
Feast.
Oh!
If you haven't seen Feast.
I haven't.
Oh, you need to watch it.
Go what? Henry Rollins is in it.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, so
and he plays like this pussy character, like completely opposite of what he is in real life, and it's almost set up kind of like I don't know, I wouldn't say a comic book, but when each character is introduced, they say like you know, oh, this is the hero, and they you have to read it, and then it gives like a little detailed thing. like if someone's going to die, or they do life expectancy.
Yeah.
And like one thing, one person's was a horrific death in 45 minutes. Like, and that's the beginning of the movie.
And it's called Feast.
Feast. Yeah, I have it.
How did I not know about
it? I have it in my, I brought it. We can pull it out.
I think we need to watch that till we get done.
It's so good.
I will totally watch
it. It's so insane.
All right, Anthony, start back over. You can, we get back on
number
trial.
Number four.
Okay.
Hellraiser Part 1.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's where it's
at. Well, to me, any of the Hellraisers are great.
Yeah, that stuff freaks me out.
One was that first initial shot.
Yep.
You already had it. It's like the same
way. Never seen anything like it.
The Architects. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Mine was the first Saw. That's my number four. Because it was that good.
My number four is way out there. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Dude, if you wasn't afraid of clowns...
Germs clapping.
If you wasn't afraid of clowns and or cotton candy,
oh yeah,
watch that movie.
Why was you afraid of cotton candy?
Well,
it's
if you've seen the movie, you would understand.
I absolutely hated that movie.
I loved it. It was so bad.
I heard other people saying it was great. I was like, okay. To me, it was so bad I couldn't finish it.
Maybe I should finish it.
Yeah, I couldn't even finish the movie. Yeah.
Are we on the top?
Well, like I said.
Yeah, what's your number?
Like I said, it's way out there.
Top three.
Top three.
Top three.
You got something special?
I need to dub in some, like, drum roll or epic or something.
But you won't do it. He just say he's going to do it.
Well, I mean, y'all do the good.
Yeah. Do some guitar.
Top three. Coming right at you.
I got, you know, John Carpenter's Halloween, which is 1 and 2.
Right.
Yeah. 1 and 2 is a continuation.
Because it's the same night.
It's the same night. Yeah. 1 and 2. Nice. You know,
very I agree 100%.
Yeah.
My,
and I'm glad you put them together.
Because, right. Because those go together.
Because that means, like, there's very few movies, like, there's very few horror movies where it goes, this is the same night. It's usually, like, 10 years later.
And I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine when that came out? It says 1978 is when Halloween came out.
The first one, yeah.
The very first one. And it ended just like that. And it was 3 years before they came out with part 2. They had to wait 3 years.
But it was the same night.
Yeah, but it was the same night. Yeah.
Mine is Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
That
one scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Because Freddy was like real demonic.
That was the best makeup
he had. The new makeup. That's when he had that new makeup.
Was awesome.
Yeah, that new makeup was pretty good.
My number three is the original It. Mainly because I haven't seen the new one yet.
Dude.
You'll
change that once you see the new one.
I might. But it was terrifying. Because I'd already read the book.
I understand that.
That movie,
but when you watch the new
blown
one.
Away.
The new ones.
And hey, Tim Curry as Pennywise. Really.
The new guy.
That was great.
The new guy that plays the Pennywise. He went to that level like Heath Ledger did with Joker.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like,
well,
he's on that level.
Wow. Gotta watch it.
He's on that level with it.
Where we at?
Number two.
Two.
I got the original Night of the Living Dead.
Good one.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
My number two is the new It.
Oh,
there you go.
There
watch
you go.
Out. Look at that.
I mean, it's awesome.
My number two. Damn, I got a lot of 80s movies on my show.
I thought you were going to say, I got a lot of number twos. Because when we did the top 10 wrestlers, like, Kelly had like 4 people for number 6. I was like, okay, well.
No, I said it could be this or this or this.
I was like, okay, well.
But I didn't know we were doing honorable mentions, so I took care of that in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
My number 2 is Phantasm.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy. That old guy still creeps me out.
Oh, yeah. The tall guy.
Yeah. The original.
Do they have it at Walmart?
They have it at Walmart.
I wonder if they got all 3 of them.
The original Slender Man.
I don't know. I think the first one.
All 3 of them were scary.
Oh, we're at the number 1.
Yes, we
number
are.
One. Number 1. Number 1.
Drum roll, please.
Number
1. Tell me about it.
It's,
give it to me.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
The first one?
The first one.
With the one where his arms go in the alley.
It's, back, was it 85? Nightmare on Elm Street came out in about 85. So we're all used to the...
83 or 85.
Somewhere it's in mid-80s. I seen it to movies, the theater when I was the first time. I was in there watching the theaters. And you're used to Jason, you know, and you're used to Michael Myers. Big guy coming at you.
Freddy
with a big
knife. Whole new level.
This is the first scare. It wasn't a villain. He was a horror guy. He was a killer that had dialogue. He talked to you.
Right.
Yeah, he messed with you.
My number one is Poltergeist. Because I was so young when I saw it that it creeps me out, and I've yet to watch it ever since then.
I still, I need
to this day.
You need to watch
that again, and I need to watch Exorcist again because I feel that way about Exorcist.
To this day, 31 years old,
about Exorcist.
31 years old, have not watched Poltergeist since I was a kid.
You need to watch the remake with us.
Even the remake, I don't want no part of it.
My number one is the entire Paranormal Activity franchise.
I put that on there and erased it.
I cannot
put it back,
sit and watch it by myself. I've tried to sit and watch it with people.
Which one was the one that had the dog and that pulled the dog down the stairs?
Don't know.
They're great.
I've seen the first one.
Number two or number three?
I watched the first one, and after that, I tried to watch the second one.
You start hurting,
man.
Yeah, you start hurting animals and stuff. Like
I was sitting up late when I watched the first one.
That doesn't sit with me well.
By my Laura's asleep. I was sitting there. I just, I'm going to watch it.
What's the new one?
You were camping in a
car. Woo, I might have to come apart, boy. I'm about to turn this off.
The new one's called The Marked One.
There's got the heebie-jeebies going on here.
Where people literally get marked. Yeah, that's...
I'm going to turn on Gilligan's Island's rerun or something.
It's a hey, it's Happy Days, yeah!
I've actually done that before. I've been watching a horror movie by myself, and I got freaked out, so I turned over to a comedy.
Oh, yeah, you got to get something.
Disney Channel.
You got to get your mood right.
Disney Channel is the best thing after a horror movie, because then you're all happy. You're like, nothing can go wrong,
but
ever.
You're still like going, still
you're looking around.
I'm still scared.
Oh, dude, Icebreaker kicking on is the ultimate heart attack when you're watching a horror movie.
We said a horror story. We was all having a big scary movie marathon one night a while back. And it was like 7 or 8 of us in the house watching. It was an old house. And this is why I have a no-slam toilet right now. One of the main reasons.
Whoa. Let me stop you right here. What is a no-slam toilet?
The lid don't fall.
Please enlighten me.
You know how when a toilet lid falls down, it slams.
Mine doesn't. It'll do it just out of the blue.
Wait. There's such thing as a
no-slam lid. Like when I push the lid.
Is this what rich people have?
I don't know about this. Yeah. You can put the lid down at a 45-degree angle, let it go, and go, and then we'll slowly close.
So this is something you can actually buy.
Yes.
It's on the market called a no-slam.
A no-slam lid. We were all watching something.
This is for rich people.
It's not because I'm not rich. Even though I drink Macallan, I'm not rich.
I have a toilet lid made out of wood.
Mine's made out of plastic.
So. And when my shit slams,
the next time.
No.
Yeah, now they put them where it's like the little hinges tight.
I didn't know they made a no-slam.
The next time you come to the house for a nightcap, you can check out. We'll demonstrate the my toilet. But. We was way into a marathon of horror movies. You know, we were at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's an old house, and then somebody had used the bathroom previously or whatever, and all of a sudden the commode lid slammed, and it all scared us. So we all got up as a group to go check and see what it was. All of us.
Dude, I'm telling you.
We all went as a group to go check on it.
My toilet at the house, the lid would just randomly slam. I don't know if it's vibrations from the refrigerator kicking in and shaking the entire house, and then it falls. But yeah.
I just didn't know you had an option. Yeah, like, I didn't know there were choices when it comes to toilet lids.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 41 around. Years old. I didn't know I had...
These are things that are scary when you're watching TV.
I didn't know I had a choice.
Yeah, you have to, when you're watching TV, if
when it comes to toilet lids.
If your outside unit kicks
on... How much
on,
extra do you got to pay for that?
Oh!
If your outside
Sean
unit...
Sean just handed me a DVD of Saw 1 and
Peace. Oh, you got Saw... You need to watch it. I'm telling you.
I told you I would.
When you saw it right watch here.
Reluctantly.
You won't watch them by himself. Yeah, watch them by yourself.
Watch them by yourself.
Look, I'll watch them by myself, but it's going to be on a no-slam toilet. Because I didn't know that shit was real, man. This is crazy.
It's like, what do you
I just
want?
Got some truth put on
you
me.
Want, you want a 25-year-old Macallan or a no-slam toilet lid?
I'm like, I didn't know this existed.
No-slam toilet lid.
Nobody told me.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think he could choose on
nobody laid this information upon me. I didn't know we had a choice when it comes to toilets.
Yeah. So you're never too old to learn something new.
It's great. No-slam toilet lid.
Sean's got something to say.
Hang on, he's got to get over here.
They also have, like, the electric ones where the seats warm up for you.
Yeah.
And all of that, like digital toilet seats.
No,
digital
the craziest toilet
You can let USB.
Digital USB. Toilet.
Anthony's buddy has got the craziest. It's
probably
toilet.
Got Bluetooth.
You got the toilet. You got your phone.
It has no water.
It just so happens you have your charger.
Yeah, that's when you have a fire toilet.
It's a fire toilet. You go in there, you take your poop,
you have to put a bag in it.
It burns it.
It incinerates. What? Incinerates it.
It falls into an incinerator. Horribly.
What happens if that thing goes off while you're actually on there, though?
We got to look up how many accidents and deaths has that toilet committed.
I'm
I feel like I don't know anything anymore.
I know.
Now you're just some toilet that I used to know. Now you're just some toilet that I used to know.
Oh, you reached it out.
No.
Booty.
I thought toilets were just toilets, man, and you guys are like being crazy about this.
Yeah. Hey, you remember when
you're like talking about transporter bidets and
shit? They got.
Remember the first time the push button flusher come out, and everybody lost their mind because that was so awesome. And now we're talking about incinerator toilets, no slam seats,
I know
toilet
what
with Bluetooth.
Toilets are.
We're gonna go get a high profile and put it in your man cave.
Hey, look.
No, that's not cool. That's what my grandma's got at the house. And when I go to my grandma's house, I feel like I belong in the Lollipop Guild.
Because
I'm sitting there and I'm just swinging my feet.
Look, the first time I ever used one of those toilets, one of those toilets with a button on the top, it's like got a real powerful flush behind it. And I freaking punted that damn toilet because it scared the hell out of me.
Hang on. This is an important question. Hey, have y'all ever heard of the Squatty Potty? The Squatty Potty.
Is that like a boudet?
Me and you watched that video in here that
but
day.
But it's real. It's a thing. It's called the Squatty Potty. It's like this little stool that you use to lift your legs up.
And
it's supposed to help.
So that your butthole is like perfectly
aligned
into the unicorn.
Yeah,
the
unicorn lines up all your intestines
so
and everything.
Unicorn ice cream can come out of your butthole.
Yeah. Need to be a sponsor for the podcast.
Oh, I would love to have Squatty Potty.
This has got to be the best list, like, reading ever.
Hey, what kind of toilets you
this
got?
Is the whole podcast.
What kind of toilets you got?
Squatty Potty, if you're listening, please sponsor us.
I want,
I'm going to send that email out
Squatty
Monday
Potty and Farmers Only.
I don't even care about Farmers Only no more.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be lonely. It's SquattyPotty.com.
Because if we can get Squatty Potty as a sponsor.
Now you're just a potty that I used to know.
I will probably quit.
Okay. Potty!
I will quit life because you can, you're great then. Life. Yeah, I'll sit at home and drink beer.
Is that what we do now?
Oh yeah.
Okay, we're gonna stop recording.
Oh my god, that just singed my hair almost. Well, I'm gonna give a shout out on the podcast.
Do it.
Happy birthday, Tony Sterling.
Yeah, happy birthday, Tony.
Yeah. I thought it was Brad Morgan.
Well, Brad's birthday is actually Tuesday, but Tony Starlin's is actually today.
Time travel.
Happy
birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad.
Brad didn't listen to the podcast.
No.
Hey, Will, if we tell him we shouted his birthday out.
Wow, yeah. Maybe.
He might.
Can we get him
but when he hears all this that just happened, he probably will never listen again.
No, he might.
He might be an avid listener then.
Can we get him to sing happy birthday while playing piano to his own?
Oh, he would do it.
Ottoman, hit stop.
All right, hit stop.
Hey, Mark, hit stop.
Stop.
Well, now I'm going to keep going just because you told me to.
Oh, you rebel.
Some potty that I used to know.
No, I sure think we need to stop.
That is some potty that I used to squat.
All right, hit stop.
No, because he's on the wrong stop button.
Listen, did you hear that?
Save me from the potty. Are we not even going to bring that up? Well, no, this is the list. We don't need to bring it up.
Listen. Some potty! And I got your ass.
We're not even drunk.
A boombox is not a toy.
Oh!
Expecting truth down our asses.
But hey, Mark, what do cool guys do?
Walk away from explosions.
They don't look at explosions.
They don't look at them. They walk away in slow motion.
And what's the golden rule?
Some potty!
I wanted to take a quick minute to tell everyone where they can find Kill Pop Culture online and what we call the list.
You just made the list!
Thank you, Chris Jericho. We're on Facebook.com/KillPopCulturePodcast. Our Twitter is @KillPopC. You can open your Instagram app and search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on there as well. Our Podomatic website is killpopculture.podomatic.com. You can download the Podomatic app. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We're on Google Play. You have to go to Google Play Music and then search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, SoundCloud.com/KillPopCulture. To find our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture.
You just made the list!
Go to AdvertiseCast.com to find out how you, yes you, can be a part of Kill Pop Culture by way of advertisement. And last but not least, you can send us an email anytime at killpopculture69@gmail.com.
You just made the list!
All right, that was a good show. It was a little bit longer of a show than normal, but we skipped last week. I know we've still got the same amount of episodes coming out, but everything was kind of spread out more so than I originally planned.
Yeah.
But I had a really good time talking to Jenny. Now that I've talked to her, I'm really that much more excited about going to the Greg Hamilton house. That's going to be on next episode. We did our lists. I forgot how funny that segment was. Like, because we recorded that about a week ago.
Yeah.
And I went in and edited it. And, man, I've forgotten all about the squatty potty.
Yeah.
And the no slam toilet lid. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I was laughing so hard. It was a little bit chaotic because there was a lot of people talking. But I think the humor outweighed the difficulty of
the chaos.
The chaos, yeah. Yeah. So I hope everybody enjoyed that section. We still got some more lists coming in. Some more of our listeners, if you want to submit us your top 10 horror movies, we will read them off on the air. Glad to have our Movies That Suck segment going strong still.
Yeah. It's been a little while since we did that, and I'm glad we brought it back just because I missed that music.
Talking about movies that don't suck, and just talking about the Friday the 13th stuff, the interview we did with CJ, like, I've really brushed up a lot on my Jason information.
Yeah, see, I want to
go
watch
all these documentaries, and
I want to go home and watch Freddy vs. Jason right now. So,
yeah, I mean, we watched part 6 to prepare for that interview, and I was like, man, it held up.
Yeah, it held. It
stood the test of time.
Yeah,
because there's some of the movies, I'm not gonna lie, from the 80s. When I go back and watch them, like, I was younger and I remember them being so awesome, and then I watch them again later, I'm like, it's not as quite as awesome as I remember it being.
Well, you know,
one is not the case.
We were talking about in the segment a while ago about Corey Feldman and everything being Tommy Jarvis. That part of that movie at the end where, you know, he shaves his head and he kind of goes into crazy Tommy mode, that was just as crazy as I remembered when I watched it the first time when I was a kid. I mean, that scene right there, especially, you know, for me, withstood, you know, through the stand of time.
Yeah, he does crazy pretty well.
Yeah, even in real life.
We shouldn't say that. We might have him on the show one day.
Sorry, Corey Feldman. I'm sorry.
Not that he would listen.
I just noticed something else. You're not standing during the interview tonight like you said you were going to start doing.
No, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to... You know how, like, we do it over at the bar sometimes? We do it standing around the bar, sometimes with the microphones over there, and then sometimes we do it at the computer, which we're at the computer tonight because we had a phone interview.
Yeah.
But...
I'm in a different stool tonight,
mix
though.
It up. Keep it fresh.
Next week, you're going to be up on the
ladder. Because our listeners could tell the difference now.
Next week, you'll be up on the ladder, and I'll be up in the attic.
We're going to have, like, you know how the two Twix factories? You have, like, the cascading caramel and... Like, you're going to have, like, standing Mark and sitting Mark fans. Like, like, I really like Kill Pop Culture, but I like it when Mark's standing better.
Yeah, there you go. It's like both sides of the spectrum.
It's like, oh, you're crazy. It's so much better when he sits down. You can just hear the passion in his voice of sitting. He's passionate about sitting. All right, this is part of the podcast where we get silly and sign off.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Looking forward to the rest of these episodes. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of A lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, we'll see you on episode 82.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Now you gotta do it like this. Stay spooky.
No.
Bye.
A boombox is not a toy.
Oh! He's like the truth now, all right.